Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on June 14th.
That's right.
19.
Did you say 19?
Oh, gosh.
Oh my goodness.
No.
We've done
19. What is this?
It's 2018.
2018.
Have another drink.
All right.
Really?
We're having fun here on State of the Arts
really?
Today. I like it.
Isn't
I like
that
it.
Another
funny?
Round for everyone.
And I almost committed myself to 19.
I was very cool during the 20th century, so I say we go back. I'm ready.
Would you like to go back?
I tell you, I would, just with the knowledge I have now, man. I want to go back and live in the 90s again, knowing what I know now. Everything felt so important. It felt so crucial. And now I'm going, man, you don't know where we're headed, folks. Let's be ready. Let's be ready.
Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, I liked the 1990s. I thought that was an interesting decade. But looking back, man, I was watching the show Friends. You remember Friends?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix now. I was watching that show, and I remember thinking...
It's on every channel.
It is. It's everywhere now, and I think there's a lot of 90s nostalgia coming back. You know,
they're so just making those kids richer and richer.
Well, they deserve... They do good work out there. I tell you, that was a fun show. But it was... I mean, that was the first time that a cast like that had been assembled, where everybody was getting... You know, there's six leads in that show. That was epic.
So. And getting, what, upwards of $1 million an episode?
I think by the end, each of
all
them...
All of them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, today, it's probably...
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing. Peanuts. You're right.
Exactly.
You're right. Michael, how you been? Are you settled in with your big move?
No. No.
No, of course not.
That's kind of why my concentration is a little off recently.
And the decades are a little
that's
off.
That's right.
I love this man. I love this man.
We were all young and happy in the 1900s. Don't you remember the 19... Doesn't that sound terrible to say? The 1900s. My kids weren't born in the 1900s. You know, that's terrifying to think.
Well, but there was a June 14th in the 1900s.
A that's couple of them,
I,
as I
that's
recall.
That's what I was going for.
Right around 100 of them.
No, but no to your question. Still unpacking
unsettled.
Boxes. And it's, you know, it's when you downsize from a large home to a smaller residence, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, what do you take? What don't you take? And even though you have help, it's only you can unpack the boxes, and only you know where you want
to. And only Michael has help.
And I do have help, and I need more help.
You've got to put out a call over the radio. Come help me move. I need boxes unpacked.
No, I had movers. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And now you're settled in. But the puppies don't help unpack?
No, they don't. No, they. You know, they're adjusting, too. They go through their emotions.
That's right.
So, but thanks for asking. And what about you? I haven't seen you in a week. So
it's been busy but good. Of course, summer starting up. Lots of good things going on. I was working on a project called Here I Am that I've been, it's a new musical, and been dealing with some of that. Some cool stuff going on there. A lot of cool people involved. Bob Torti, who we had involved years ago.
He just wrote me a note last night.
How nice.
Yeah.
Joan Almedilia was involved in the original bit. All these great people who I love so, so much. And so it was fun to kind of revisit that and see the good things. But we should move on because we've got some talent in the studio today. One
yes,
of my favorite, I was going to say one of my favorite performers, but that's not true. He's one of my favorite storytellers because this gentleman, I tell you, when he takes on a role, he embodies that role and becomes the story that he's playing like
isn't
no one else I've ever
true.
Seen.
Yeah. It's so true.
Well, here we are, Michael. And again, as we said, in Southern California, it is June 14th, 2018, and we have a truly legendary performer on the show with us today.
Yes, Andrew, we do, don't we? And I am so happy that he is here today. Mm-hmm. He is a veteran of the Broadway stage, here to talk with us about 3D Theatrical's extraordinary production of Parade, the Jason Robert Brown, Alfred Urey musical. This weekend, it opens tomorrow night in preview, and then officially to the press on Saturday evening at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, running through June 24th.
He'll also be speaking with us about his upcoming performance in concert at the Laguna Beach Playhouse, co-starring in 42nd Street for 3D Theatrical.
Yes,
as well.
That's coming up. And I love the Laguna Beach Playhouse. It's
beautiful.
Such a perfect little venue to do a concert.
Well, it's not actually a concert there. I'm doing a play there.
Oh, a play?
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you about that later.
Is this the full show of 42nd Street?
That's at 3D, though.
That's for 3D.
Okay, good.
In October.
Okay, yes,
right.
Yes.
Laguna is, I'm doing a play with Rita Rudner.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Oh, we love Rita. She's great.
She's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the concert I'm doing is, it's August 11th in Orange, California.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. We'll straighten all that out.
Well, no, now there's a lot of cool stuff coming up here that we've been mentioning, and even more that you have going on. And you are one of those performers who never stops working, not for a day. Do you ever take a day off?
Yes,
no,
I do.
You don't. I don't believe it. Every time I look on your Facebook page or anything, you've got new listings for new dates and all that sort of thing. We thank you for taking the time to join us today with your busy, busy schedule.
Well, my pleasure.
Yeah,
pleasure to be here. We have a first dress rehearsal tonight.
Yes.
At Redondo.
Yeah.
You've heard his voice. His name is legendary. His performances are unforgettable. His name is Davis Gaines. Let's give him a big round of applause.
Well, thank you.
And follow you around.
Yes.
Please, do they stalk you on the street?
Please be seated.
Ladies, put your clothes back on. Come on now, please. Gentlemen, come on. I got to tell you, it's so funny to sit here next to Davis because the last time we saw him was when he was at the beautiful Valley Performing Arts Center playing Don Quixote.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Great performance.
For those listeners who might not have had the pleasure of seeing Mr. Gaines in concert or in a theatrical production, Andrew, we have some tracks here today, and we'd love for you to listen to the glorious voice that this man has. And this is something, a track that he, that was recorded live from the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts in a at a concert that you gave, Davis, in some year.
Did I?
Some recent year. So
let me. I'll tell you what it is. Name that venue.
Well, I'll give you a little hint because we're going to play it right now at this moment.
All right.
This is the day when I send all my doubts and demons on their way. Every endeavor I have made ever is coming into play, is here and now today. This is the moment, this is the time.
I sing exactly like that in my head.
In the shower.
Right, when no one can hear me. Man, Davis, what a great... And am I correct that this was on ice when you were
singing
this?
That was from a production called Broadway on Ice that I did a couple of times all over the country. In fact, even in Oman, in the Middle East. But it was that particular productions was with Dorothy Hamill and some incredible skaters. I was the Broadway and they were the ice. And I wore like cleats on my shoes, like almost like golf shoes, so I wouldn't slip on the ice. Which Dorothy had given me a pair of skates and tried to teach me, but we came out for the singers came out for the curtain call in skates, and I fell a couple of times in my curtain call, but yeah, I made it work.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Wow.
So you have a very intelligent sense of humor.
You know, you well, do. Thank you.
You really thank do. You and some of the numbers that he does that, you know, are fun numbers. He brings it to life in a very interesting
way. Well, I try to bring that to every character I play, actually, a sense of humor. Yeah. Like, that's so important. And that brings a whole different color to any character, even to the Phantom or to the guy I'm playing in Parade. There's a sense of humor there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I represented Broadway on Ice for years.
Oh, for
heaven's
sakes.
Prior to you going into the show.
Wow, I forgot that.
From its
Willie
beginning.
B-Tech.
Willie B-Tech, who's still a good friend and colleague, and his lovely wife.
Yes, we were in Oman together. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They're lovely people.
Yep.
But these kind of voices, this is my point, don't come along but once in a very great while.
Yeah.
And this man has been singing like this all of his life, and he is such a joy to not only as a person but as a performer, and technically speaking as a singer, gosh, you know, who can you think of that sings like this?
Oh, that's right. So sweet.
Well, now, Davis, you started off in more humble ways, didn't you? You were a Disney performer for a while at Disneyland.
Well, that was my high school job in Orlando, Florida. Wow. And I think my mom and dad might be listening now, so hey, Mom and Dad.
Hey, Mom and Dad, are you there?
Hope you're doing well. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay.
That was my Disney, that was my job. I think most people, like here in Anaheim.
So
like,
many people.
It's a high school job. It's a great high school gig.
When it goes to show, if you want a glimpse of Broadway, go to see Disney shows, because that's where the performers
are coming
from.
We didn't have that
back
then. Amazing. There were no Disney shows then.
Wow.
But I was in costume, and we did character parades and shows. And
what costume? Do you mind?
I was there was a fox, a cat and a fox, Foul Fellow and Gideon from Pinocchio, that made him play hooky from school and took him to the Lost Boy Island. And he sang in the movie, High Diddly D, An Actor's Life for Me, was my character. So it was a great costume. I had a cane.
Wow.
And I was not kind of the evil fox. It's very great.
That's great.
I was acting in that costume.
You know? I love it. We see so many performers come through here who had their roots in Disney. So obviously a great legacy of performers.
I worked at the park here at Disneyland. I was a Jungle Boat ride.
Right.
Of course you were.
I took them around the jungle, river. And I did it, I think, a total of 1,200 times by the time I was given the opportunity to go to another ride. And I liked it, though. You know, and as you're saying, Davis, you know, you were an actor, and I was an actor during that time period.
Yes, of course.
So.
Chance to
they
perform.
Called them cast members still.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously, what a great thing. We're going to talk more about that with this amazing man. But before we do that, we should go ahead and thank another great support of the arts, the amazing Princess Cruises.
Yes, indeed. But, before I thank them, I just wanted to not forget to say this. I attended the Actors Fund Gala Tony Awards viewing party this past Sunday. I was covering it for Broadway World TV, so we were on the red carpet, and Winnie Holzman was being honored, and Shoshana Bean was there, and from Broadway, from Wicked, which involved Winnie, and so many things that, you know, her print is on her hand prints, and she's a writer, and she's such a lovely lady, and I had the opportunity to speak with her several times during the evening. And also, it was the 96th birthday of Judy Garland.
Wow.
And Lorna Luft was there.
Oh, my friend Lorna.
And we had a great time.
How's she doing?
Just wonderful.
Great.
You know, she recently had with the brain tumor, but it's all good. It's
wonderful.
She's back in business. She looks fantastic. She was in a great mood, and we were very engaged in conversation about not only the Actors Fund and helping them raise money that evening, which was a couple $100,000 that they raised. And we were talking about Pride. She was talking about Pride because, really, her mother's passing at the age of 47 was kind of the catalyst of the big beginning.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, all of that happening. The Stonewall was happening and all that stuff. So it was interesting. But it's always a pleasant opportunity to support the Actors Fund. All right, now let's support this radio show.
Let's do it.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018. Or 1918, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win, and that you may do so by listening to this program and going to our network page at latalkradio.com, and then go to Channel 2 and click on State of the Arts, and there will be a Princess logo there. You click on that, you register to win, and who knows?
That's right.
A balcony stateroom on the high seas.
I want to go.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Maybe we should like change our names. And
that's right. Everybody in this town has a pseudonym anyways. Might as well use it. We'd also like to acknowledge, of course, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Yes, they are such a great resource, Andrew, to be sure. And speaking of great things, what about your theatrical part of your week?
Well, so, I mean, like I was involved with a couple other projects, mostly in the workshop phase, and it was interesting to deal with some of these and see performers coming in and start to hear how a project can change when you're right in studio versus live. But, of course, the big thing this week was the Tonys, getting to watch the Tonys. I know you're at a viewing party. Did you cover it as well?
I covered it as well, yeah.
Unbelievable. Did you get a chance to watch them, Davis?
I haven't. It's on my DVR.
Right, I know, right. That's so much of what it is, too. Well, that's obviously such a big and important time of year, and I thought the nominations this year were great. I thought some of the performances were good. I got to admit, I'm only about halfway through it too, though, because I do the exact same thing. I DVR it. So lots of cool stuff going on there, though.
You know, but I think some, I don't think most people, a lot of people there weren't familiar with the shows because they hadn't been to New York to see them, you know, especially the band's visit. And Sponge, what is it, SquarePants?
SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yes. I don't watch that, know that, or anything else.
Phantom of the Opera, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. I was surprised by that. But at the same time, I mean, introducing new audiences, so much of that stuff going on right now.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And the two new hosts did a pretty good job, I thought. You know,
yeah, very.
So it was a very pleasant evening. You know, the ambiance there at the Skirball Center.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, I've been there a couple of times.
Yes, beautiful. I know. I've seen photographs of you on the red carpet there.
Oh yeah, well, we had a show that day, we had a parade that day. So.
I know. But it was a very nice dinner. The only objection I had is they only served beef.
Wow.
It's kind of odd, right?
And that's the wrong audience for that.
You know,
I'm a pescatarian myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
So I ask for...
That's true?
Yeah.
It's interesting because I've considered that because I love fish.
So
but at the same time, it still gives you that protein boost that you know. That's interesting. Yeah, I know a lot of people who follow that.
I ask for an alternate dish, and they said, I'm sorry, we don't have...
We have coffee. Rice.
Right. Right. Some soup.
Would you like to come back?
Bring you a nice cup of coffee.
Cook it in the kitchen yourself.
That is strange that they would only have the one option, particularly in this town and particularly in this day and age.
They didn't actually tell. There was nothing to tell you what it was.
What was
going to
come. Yeah.
Sponsored by USA Beef.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Otherwise, the service was beautiful. The staff was amazing.
And, wow.
It was all good. It was a good way to spend the day.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard his voice and you certainly know his work. Today's guest brought the house down playing the title role in Weber's The Phantom of the Opera over 2,000 times on Broadway in Los Angeles, where he remains LA's longest running Phantom, and in San Francisco. He was then chosen by Hal Prince and Andrew Lloyd Webber to play the leading role in the world premiere of a show that I saw very early on, Whistle Down the Wind.
Other Broadway and national tour credits include Raoul in Phantom, Cornelius in Hello, Dolly, Camelot, and the Bessel del Whore House in Texas. Some of his many off-Broadway credits include Assassins, She Loves Me, and Forbidden Broadway. He made his New York City opera debut in The New Moon and appeared in New York in concert versions of Sitting Pretty, The Cat and the Fiddle, Pippin, and The Boys from Syracuse.
Here in Southern California, his portrayal of Hannibal Lecter in Silence, the musical, garnered him an L.A. Weekly Award for Best Male Musical Performance. He appeared at the Musical Theater West in Spamalot, Man of La Mancha, for which he won both an Ovation and a Broadway World Award for Best Leading Actor in a Musical, 1776, Parade, and Side by Side.
Regionally, a few credits include King Arthur in Camelot, Joe Hardy in Damn Yankees, and Mortimer Brewster, a part I played myself, in Arsenic and Old Lace. He also played Anthony Hope in the 20th anniversary concert productions of Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. With the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra, he was Sweeney Todd in Sweeney Todd and Sky Masterson in Guys and Dolls. He also toured the country with Olympic champion Dorothy Hamill in Broadway on Ice.
Some
spectacular review done in theaters.
That's right. Yeah. Some, and I specify some because there are many, film and television appearances include Desperate Housewives, Charmed, Chicago Hope, and Bodies of Evidence. He appeared in 3 PBS episodes of Great Performances broadcasts, and in 1994 Kennedy Center Award honors, and in the opening ceremony of the 1998 Goodwill Games. He has sung for 5 U.S. presidents and with every major symphony orchestra in North America.
That is something to claim.
I'm exhausted.
My printer's out of ink. You owe me $20, Davis.
He is here today with us, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about his role as prosecutor Hugh Dorsey in Parade, opening this weekend at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, which will run through June 24th, as well as some other exciting projects on the horizon.
Be the judge.
My microphone peripherally was in my sight line here. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a wonderful welcome to the incomparable Davis Gaines. Come on now. Yeah.
Davis, you've become such a friend of the show.
I love it. I feel like I live here.
Well, we want you to come back all the time, so you need to only do projects around here where we can talk to you more.
And, you know, like all that stuff, I don't have an agent in L.A., so if any agent's listening,
really?
Give Michael a call. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, absolutely.
You be careful. Michael will take the job. He'll do a great job on that, too.
Why not?
All right.
Right? Exactly. But, Davis, I got to ask you first and foremost, of all these projects that you've done, is there anything out there that you haven't done yet that's still on the list?
Oh, well, you know, I love taking roles that I haven't done. Like, I did Parade twice before at the Mark Taber Forum, and then the big concert at Avery Fisher Hall a couple years ago.
And in different roles.
But a different role. Yeah. So this is a new role for me. I always take things and, like, 42nd Street's coming up in October.
Yes.
And I haven't played Julian Marsh before. It's just fun to do things I haven't done. So I've been really lucky here in L.A. to do theater and do roles that I haven't done before.
When you're talking about the great Rita Rudner, who I love and does such amazing work at Laguna Playhouse, coming up in September, that's the 7th through the 16th, what's that going to be like?
Well, it's a play that she and her husband Martin wrote.
Is there music in it?
I think it's a play with music.
Wow, wow. Okay.
But it's a kind of a four-person play, and I play... it sounds very interesting. She and her husband wrote it, and it takes place in a hotel room in Las Vegas, and she's separating from her husband, for taking a break from her husband, and she's a kind of a, you know, uppity kind of rich lady probably, and I'm probably a divorced dad that or I'm not going to tell what happens to my wife, but he's down on his luck. He's coming to Vegas for a poker tournament.
Okay.
So they we find out we're double booked in the same room, and the hotel's full.
Wow.
So we have to room together for the weekend. And so
the shenanigans begin.
And when I'm reading the script, I just can just hear her.
Right.
You know, her saying those lines. It's really fun. It's just
so Rita wrote it, and she's
and she and her husband wrote it, and so it's totally Rita Rudner.
That's
material.
Great.
And, I'm looking forward to playing opposite her.
Does she still appear on the circuit in the Vegas and Atlantic City?
I don't know. We haven't met yet, so I'm looking
You'll
forward
find
to
out.
Wow.
Yeah. And the big thing I'm doing, La Mirada produced a concert for me a few months ago, just a one-person concert. But I'm going to get to do it again down in Orange, California, at this beautiful Alexander Nikita Center for the Arts. It's on the campus of Orange Lutheran High, but it's a gorgeous facility, and it's just going to be an evening of pretty much my life story and song and stories.
Beautiful.
And with piano and bass.
And nice. Wow. And that's on August 11th.
Yes, August 11th. It's a Saturday night.
Now, Help is on the way, which is...
looks like it's 24. It's a huge benefit they've had in San Francisco for 24 years. Yeah.
Isn't David Galligan at the helm of that?
He's directing it again. He moved
to New York,
and he's coming back out to do Help is on the way in San Francisco.
So you will be in very good company there, and that is going to benefit the Richard Ehrmit Aid Foundation.
They do such great work there in San Francisco.
And it's a beautiful place to be in the first place.
I
would drop anything just to go there.
Wow.
If somebody invited me.
Lots of friends in the show involved, obviously.
Yeah, Loretta Devine, she's a fun person. Donna McKechnie, of course, we love. Carol Cook, Leslie Jordan, one and only Leslie Jordan, Kimberly Locke from American Idol, and others. And it's going to be at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco, and you can go to www.reaf.org for tickets.
Yeah, let's mention that one too. Now, this is the title of my solo concert.
So the solo concert,
August 11th.
You can go to lhsoc.org/Davis Gaines.
Yeah, I think the LHS stands for Lutheran High School, Orange County.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you just put in Lutheran High School and Davis Gaines, it's going to pop up.
Center for the Arts.
It's going to be fun.
Well, now, those are all amazing projects, and I want to talk more about those in a little bit. But the thing you're here today is one of our favorite shows, Parade. Now, Jason Robert Brown is a favorite of mine. I've directed
mine
the last
too.
5 years. And I mean, such an amazing. In fact, I watched him as he conducted and was blown away by his conducting abilities. Such a musician. What's it like to tackle a project like this that's been around and yet continues to be relevant year after year after year? How do you keep that fresh?
I mean, it really is even more relevant right now.
Right?
It's just frightening
so
how scary it is.
Yeah.
I got to work with Jason. I knew Jason early on before he was Jason.
Uh-huh. Aha!
We did a lot of demo tapes in his apartment, but I got to work with him and Alfred on the Mark Taper production, which was brought over from the Dunmar Warehouse in London.
Wow. Yes.
So it was a very different version than what we're doing now. It was a very cut down, small cast. Everybody doubled up on roles, and it was very an ensemble kind of intense thing. And then last year I did it. He asked me to come out to New York to do it with Avery Fisher, with the full, he conducted the full symphony, an orchestra with a 200-piece chorus behind us.
And good Lord.
Jeremy Jordan and Laura Benanti and it was a really exciting event, but once again, it was on a huge scale, and it wasn't staged with costumes. But this production is probably one of my favorites that I've done and seen, the one here in coming up in Redondo. TJ's done a magnificent job directing it with a cast of 47 people.
Wow. TJ Dawson, who's the executive artistic director.
Yeah, and it's everybody is cast so well, and everybody is so good in their roles, and it tells a story, and the sets and the lighting, and it's just brings it to life, and it's, you know, it's, there's humor in it, but it's a very serious subject, and
fairly
it
dark.
Changes people, and people don't know the show and when they come, they said, I've never seen the show, but it stays with me days and days afterwards. It's so important, the message that it gives.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a heavy duty one, and but for all the right purposes, I think. And for me, the first time that I saw it was in their 3D theatricals 2013
I saw that one
production
as well.
And when I left the theater that evening, first of all, as a production company, because they're such a young company, I thought that was a huge turning point for them. Not that they haven't always done good work, because they have, but I had not seen very much of their earlier work.
Wow.
But when I saw this show, I felt like
I
was
even better than it was in 2012-13.
Yes.
I mean, just because it's grown and TJ has new ideas.
Exactly.
They're just half the cast is new and half the cast was from 2000.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing I can say about him, you said a great cast, and TJ is very, very particular about casting. He will scour the city until he finds the right person for whatever role, the smallest role to the largest role.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and he's passionate about this show
very
in particular,
passionate.
And he knows exactly what he wants,
exactly.
And it's his vision, and it's a true story. I mean, I don't know if your viewers, listeners know, it's the truth based on Leo Frank's trial,
for 1913
murdering.
Trial?
Yes, it's powerful, and I play the prosecutor, obviously.
You play the bad guy.
Well, I guess he doesn't think, I don't think he thinks he's bad.
I think
he thinks he's doing the right thing, but it turns out that...
And history
And he becomes, because of his fame from the trial... He becomes governor of Georgia later down the road. Yeah,
but such a you know, a typical situation, at which again it's still happening today. Leo Frank being put in jail for with no evidence,
like profiling almost.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and not simply based on the fact that he was Jewish.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't him, they were looking to, to the
black man.
To a black man.
And one of my lines, I can't even say it on the air, but it's like we hang in another black man isn't good enough. We have to do better this time.
Right.
So they already, that was a commonplace thing to hang a black man.
Can you
man.
Imagine?
So
just that line.
Well, and it speaks, this show
speaks
particularly speaks so well to xenophobia and the fear of anybody who lives differently than we do. And I think, like, Ken Burns' Central Park 5, which details the Central Park jogger case from the late 80s, you realize that this is something that's been going on, not just in America, but all over the world for so long. People who've never understood how to live together, how to make things work, how to look at each other equally. And Parade does it so beautifully. The music is absolutely stunning. And while the material's heavy, there are moments of levity in it. There's a lot of fun in it, too. And it's certainly a musical extravaganza. I mean, you go to watch this and you leave with notes fluttering around your head that you can't even imagine all worked so well together. So I think this piece is a great fit for 3D theatricals.
Well, I also think it's an important piece for 3D theatricals, and it's an important piece for you, ladies and gentlemen, to see and to take your children to, quite frankly, and expose them to theater. This is heavy duty, but I mean, if the child can comprehend, if they're of the right age, they need to see something like this. And I think that it will forever be left in their memory.
That's right. And obviously, you can check out some of the content and some of the reviews. I saw a great review on this production, this specific production that just came out, so you can look at that. I think that there's a lot of good things going on here. You just wrapped up at Cerritos, correct? And now you're headed.
Yes.
In fact, you're moving to Redondo today. Is that correct?
Today.
Do you have a rehearsal after this?
We do. We have a dress rehearsal.
We always grab them, and they're such hard workers, man. Coming here and then going back down to rehearsals.
I know.
Now, for people who haven't been to Redondo, it's such a great performing arts center down there. Really, very beautiful.
It's my first time
to
perform there. Yeah,
I didn't know that. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's
down there.
Modern,
from
another time period, but it's clean, and the sight lines are fantastic.
Not a bad seat in that house. Yeah.
And the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, ladies and gentlemen, is at, I'm going to give you the address, 1934. East Manhattan Boulevard, right in the middle of Redondo Beach. And the great thing is that parking is complimentary.
That's right.
And it is located directly in front of the theater. The 3D Theatricals remote box office telephone number is 714-589-2770. And that works Monday through Friday and also on Saturday. The 3D box office at the theater opens 2 hours prior to performances. Now, ticket prices are on sale. Andrew, you want to tell them
about
that?
Of course, and this is a great price. You can get tickets as low as $25 for this show,
which
I thought was a misprint. Of course, you can go all the way up to $105 for some of the prime seats as well. You can go visit www.3dtheatricals.org, and there is a small ticket handling fee as well. There's student rush available for as low as $20, believe it or not.
1 hour, prior to select performances. And the dates, ladies and gentlemen, Friday, June 15th, tomorrow night, Saturday, and that's at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, Saturday, June 16th at 8 p.m., the official press opening, Sunday, June 17th, a 2 p.m. only matinee, Friday, June 22nd at 8 p.m., Saturday, June 23rd at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., and Sunday, June 24th, closing in a matinee at 2 p.m.
So obviously, only 7 more performances.
Yes. That's right. You have till the 24th, but there's not a lot of performances in between there. So go get your tickets now and go see this show, because it is truly something special to see.
And Jeff Scowron is extraordinary, and that Rufus Bonds Jr., who created his role of Jim Conley in the original Broadway production, is reprising it again here, as he did for 3D back in 2013.
And that production in 2013 was just a smash hit. I mean, it won countless awards and all that sort of thing as well.
Indeed.
So, and this one's even getting better reviews as well, I'm sure. So one of the things we should look at, too, is a friend of the cast, Michael Thomas Fixger, is in this cast as well, part of the ensemble.
He's terrific.
We talked to him just briefly when he was up here a little while ago, and lots of good talent. 3D Theatricals does not mess around when it comes to finding talent.
No, they don't.
That's right.
There's a beautiful cast. Shel Denton is in it. She's amazing.
Shelley.
She plays Lucille Frank.
Beautiful.
Wife of
Makes
Leo
me cry
Frank,
every night.
I'm sure.
Yep.
I'm sure Robert Yacko, a favorite here in Southern California, playing Governor Jack Slayton.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon Goodman, my goodness.
Oh, he's sleazy in this one.
Is he? He's such a great character. And he plays Tom Watson and Officer Stames. Tyler McLean, the young...
he sounds beautiful, too. Gorgeous
voice. Beautiful voice, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, young man, and he plays the young soldier in the show. And
Frankie.
Then Frankie. Yeah. Frankie Epps. And Dawson is in the cast, actually. It is Jeanette Dawson, who is married to T.J. Dawson, and she is...
She plays the mother of Mary Fagan.
Yes, little Mary Fagan, who is the young lady that is killed. Mm. And Leslie Stevens is playing the governor's wife, Sally Slayton, and Robert Yacko, as we said.
Great. And the choreography is terrific.
Yep.
And there's dance numbers, and my favorite scene is the courtroom scene where it all comes together.
The
end of Act One, when it's just like, I feel like I'm in a movie, because it's so cinematic, and it goes from witness to witness, and it's very fast moving.
Yes. Yeah.
Very exciting.
I liked it. I liked it more than the Don Meyer production that was done.
I did too. I do too.
And I know you were in that.
I agree with you on that.
It's more intense. It's more real. It's more enveloping of your emotions. You know, engulfing. So, ladies and gentlemen, seriously, can't say it enough. It's a weekend. Support the arts, and especially arts that are of this caliber.
That's right.
3D Theatrical brings Broadway to Los Angeles in a very high-profile way.
So right now, get on your phones, your iPads, go to 3dtheatricals.com.
.org.
.org, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So you can find that real quick, 3dtheatricals.org. Before we come back, and I want to talk, Davis, a little bit more about some of this other amazing stuff you have coming up, because, like I said, truly one of the hardest working men in L.A. here. We should jump out and do a quick live arts calendar about a show that I am thrilled is back and running.
All right.
This is obviously a show that we're talking about here. Davis, you'll hang around with us for a little bit?
Sure.
I appreciate that. This is Long Day's Journey Into Night at the Wallace.
Eugene O'Neill's Pulitzer Prize-winning masterpiece Long Day's Journey Into the Night comes to the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts in Beverly Hills for a limited 3-week engagement Friday, June 8th. It's already in progress, through Sunday, July 1st. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit thewallace.org/longdays or call 310-746-4000.
That's right. And for those of you who don't know the story, haunted by the past but unable to face the truth of the present, James and Mary Tyrone and their two sons test the bonds of a family caught in a cycle of love and resentment. As day turns into night, each member of the family indulges their vices and truth unveils, leaving behind a quartet of ruined lives. Mm. Now, Long Day's Journey Into Night is for me one of Eugene O'Neill's masterworks. I mean, that and Iceman Cometh, there's themes there that are addressed that are still difficult to deal with today. And more importantly, it's such an honest portrayal of family dysfunction and hurt. And I've always felt that if we can see that on stage, if we can feel how other people feel, we can avoid it in our own lives, which is something that we all need to do more and more. Lots
well,
of
you know,
stuff
and
there.
Also we didn't mention that Jeremy Irons is an Olivier Award winner, and he is starring, starring in the show, Academy Award winner, excuse me, and Olivier Award winner Leslie Manville.
So, I mean, obviously, this cast is amazing. Yeah. But The Wallace, too, never shorts its audiences. It goes all out for every production. Oh, we beautiful. Know people there. We love them so much. So obviously,
I saw a picture
great
of the
stuff
set.
Going.
It looks amazing.
Did you?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, it's
glass
like,
walls and glass ceilings. And
yeah. Beautiful. And it's so cool what they do because they really do bring traditional material and make it relevant to your life right then. Another great
and it's
production.
A great, and a great space to see something. It's just
oh,
a beautiful,
yeah. It's
beautiful
a beautiful theater.
Theater
and a lovely area.
So gorgeous.
I want to inject a little surprise that Davis doesn't know.
Uh-oh. Oh,
God.
Uh-oh.
That's another track of his beautiful singing.
Uh-huh.
But the reason that we're doing this, first of all, because it's from another period in his life and a television appearance that he did, and with a former client of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that I have... Oh, I'll tell you who it is. It's Marie Osmond.
One of my favorites.
And I have known her since Paper Roses. Wow. I handled her brothers.
For heaven's sake.
Right.
And I handled Donnie and Marie, and we went on a world tour, and we did all of these amazing concerts all over the world. And they are the sweetest, kindest, yes. most talented people that I know. And as a family, such a close-knit family.
And they've always been nice to me, so sweet.
Oh, well, because
so
they're nice people.
Yeah.
And, you know, their show in Las Vegas is one of the top five shows. And they've been there for, what, good Lord, 7 years or something like that? Five,
yeah.
six, 7 years. And they are spectacular.
Wow.
Truly spectacular. I'm not being biased. But I came across this, and I had not even imagine that you would be singing with someone.
Well,
like
it's, that was it. Was they had a talk show, a
yes,
daytime
it was
talk
the,
show,
right?
And
right.
I on the same show. It's also you can find this on YouTube, I'm sure. But I sang with Marie.
Yes.
And then I sang a duet on Music of the Night with Donnie on the same show.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Fantastic. And Donnie's dream was always to play the Phantom,
right.
but he never got to do it. But it's both of those is a classic.
Well, we have you and Marie singing, and I've never heard Marie sing like this
it's
before.
From Oklahoma.
Yes.
This is People.
No, we have.
People will say
yeah,
we're
from Oklahoma. Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
yeah. And of course, this is Marie Osmond and Davis Gaines.
With Donnie making a quick introduction.
Yes.
Here we go.
You guys ready?
We are ready.
You take it.
We can see with the
okay. okay. It's all yours.
Up stories that link my name to yours.
No, no. Why do the neighbors gossip all day behind their doors? I know a way to prove what they say is quite untrue.
Here is a gist, a practical list of don'ts for you.
Memories. That was amazing.
I've never heard her sing like that either. That's amazing.
I would have.
And wait till you hear Donnie sing Music of the Night. When listeners can go online and find that one too.
Joseph was so good. He's such a wonderful. I sat next to him on a plane one time, and I was wearing a fedora, pork pie fedora, and he asked if he could borrow my hat.
Oh,
I didn't start a conversation with him. He was just so funny. I thought he was just such a welcoming, easy to talk to person. Very cool. Very cool.
I think somebody should have put you and Maria out on a tour.
Oh, that would have been great.
Oklahoma.
That would have been. Oh, see.
Yeah.
We missed our chance.
Yeah,
that's right. What are you talking about? Let's do it now.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to rock?
I think I'm more like Mr. Starnes and Aunt Eller at this point.
Ooh, now, you can make some money doing that tour, my friend. Well, it's so funny to hear stuff like this because obviously your career spans so many different genres. But coming back to kind of what you've got going on now, you're doing a lot of concerts sort of things, but also a lot of new works, original works, right?
Yeah,
like what
exciting.
You're doing with Rita. Is that something that you'd had much of experience with in the first? You'd said you started with Parade when it was fairly early on. Have you seen
Not
projects?
Not fairly early on. I missed it was the new version. The Broadway version was, I don't know what year the Broadway, the Hal Prince version was.
Sure.
But I only got involved with Parade since the Taper version, which was... almost 9 years ago.
And who did you play at the Taper version?
I played the old soldier and the judge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I like this role. I like this role. Well, I have a very interesting story. Do you want to hear a story?
Please.
Yeah. About Jeremy Irons, oddly enough.
In Long Day's Journey into Night.
Yeah. When I was doing Forbidden Broadway in New York, that's one of my the most fun things I've done. It's like... four people changing clothes every 2 seconds in a room this big. And
sounds a lot like high school for me.
It was so much fun. But we heard Jeremy Irons was there.
Wow.
And he was doing a play with Glenn Close on Broadway at the time. I can't remember the name of the play. Very popular play. But he stayed afterwards and asked us to come out and join his table. And we drank wine till the bar closed. And he said, "You must come see the play." And I said, of course. So he got us tickets. We showed up, and he says, "Please come backstage." So we saw the play. We're taken back to his dressing room, and he said, "Please come in, sit down." And you know, and on this couch was this woman, and you know Diana Ross, right? And I went,
"Wow,
no, I really haven't."
I'm sorry, who?
So we all sat around and talked, and he said to Ms. Ross, like, "Have you seen Forbidden Broadway? It's very good." And she goes, "No, I haven't." So it was amazing. And what I got from that moment, besides his generosity and kindness, was that he had a guest book in his dressing room that everyone that came back would sign it. So all my years of Phantom, all 6+ years, I had a guest book in my dressing room, and I have all these signatures of amazing people in these two books that I have. You know, like Marcel Marceau and Billy Joel and Kevin Costner and everyone that came backstage.
How great.
After a show. And it's a really great idea.
And you got that from Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's cool.
That is a great idea. You're right. Wow, what a cool story. So this Forbidden Broadway, which of course was so epic for so long, what did you sing for that?
We play five different, maybe 20 different characters.
Who else was in the show with you?
Back then, Norma Eileen came in. She was one of the original version of people, but she came back to do it. Herndon Lackey, Jan's last name. It was up on the Upper West Side on 72nd Street.
Wow.
It was so much
fun. The first time I ever saw it was with Jason Graw.
Yeah, I never did it with
here
Jason.
Here in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And several other people that were from Broadway.
They did it at the MTW recently, a few years ago.
Yes. Yes,
very
did.
Successful.
The original one was at the Tiffany Theater.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. On Sunset.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. Fun.
Mm-hmm. Parade opened in 1998.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's that time.
Oh.
It's that time.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Davis is like, "I don't get embarrassed. I'm not going to deal with this."
I get embarrassed all the time. I've told you all of them. I've been here 16 times. I can't keep up. Jeez. I really have embarrassing. I'll tell you a sweet one that happened.
Okay. Sweet will be good.
This past Monday night.
Oh. Wow. Breaking news here on State of the Arts.
No, it was. I'm so happy I did it. I had been, for the last 3 weeks, I've been suffering with bronchitis and a cough, and my voice was not in the tip-top shape that I would want it to be. But I was asked to sing at Patricia Morrison's memorial service at the Pantages, at the lobby of the Pantages. Mm-hmm. And she died recently at 103, and she was the original Kate in Kiss Me, Kate.
Right.
A few years ago, I got to sing a duet with her for one of the stage benefits. I got to sing So in Love with Patricia Morrison, looking into her beautiful eyes.
I saw that.
And
I was there.
So I was honored. I mean, I got to go, you know, to her apartment and rehearse. And she had a bird called Cookie, a parakeet that she loved that followed her all around. And so I met Cookie during rehearsals. And then when I played Petruchio at up at Cabrillo in Thousand Oaks mm-hmm. a few years ago, she came to the show and took pictures of the cast afterwards when she was 99, I'm sure.
Wow.
Youngin.
Yeah, and I asked her how the bird was doing. How's Cookie? And she goes, oh, she died. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. What happened? She goes, ugh. I sat on her. I said, oh, gosh. Said, oh, don't worry about it. I just sat on Cookie. So I said, she had the greatest sense of humor. So Monday when I didn't really have my voice was really not good. I thought about canceling and not going. But I said, you know, I'm doing this for Pat. And Pat would say, honey, just get up there and sing. And so I get there and I sang Where is the Life That Late I Led from Kiss Me, Kate. And I told the audience that I had been sick, but I was going to do this for Pat. And and Marty, that runs the Pantages, showed me this, said that he 10 hours before she passed away few weeks ago, she was in the hospital, and a nurse said that she was a big fan, and they sang Our Love Is Here to Stay Together.
Wow.
So I said, if Pat can sing 10 hours before she passes, I can sing.
You can fight a cold.
Tonight.
No
I
kidding.
Can do it. And then that made it all worthwhile, and it was just amazing to be able to do that for her. And I'm so glad I went.
That's a great story. My goodness. Wow. Yeah. Well, and you must have had to fight through so many things over your career.
Oh, you do. But you go. You just do it. Like she says, honey, just do it.
That's right.
Don't complain.
I got to get the bumper sticker made. Honey, just do it. That's right.
She kept doing it.
Yeah,
wow.
She did.
Until 103.
Well, so the gentleman we're talking to is Davis Gaines. And, of course, we want you to go see him in Parade because it truly is an amazing piece of theater. And he truly is an amazing actor. But more than that, you've got so many opportunities around the Southland to go visit him. You've got an evening with Davis Gaines coming up on August 11th, that's in Orange County down on Lutheran High School campus. You can visit www.lhsoc.org/Davis Gaines.
Help is on the way, the 24th edition of that. For those of you in San Francisco who are listening to this program, August 19th, the Richmond Ermitt Aid Foundation benefit with Loretta Devine, Donna McKechnie, Carol Cook, Leslie Jordan, Kimberly Locke, and others at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco. Go to the following web address, reaf.org.
And, of course, the one I'm most excited about going to see, Two's a Crowd, with Rita Rudner, written by her and her husband, of course, starring Davis and Rita. And it's September 7th through the 16th at Laguna Playhouse in Laguna Beach, California. A great playhouse. You can check out their website, LagunaPlayhouse.com.
Mm-hmm. And then back to 3D Theatricals for a beautiful show, 42nd Street, such a famous show, playing Julian Marsh, October 12th through the 28th at the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts, 3DTheatricals.org.
Now, Davis, where can people find out more about you to follow your career and all the other things?
All of that stuff will be, if it's not already, on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/DavisGainesActor, and then my website, DavisGaines.com.
You have a cool website.
Thank you.
Yeah, very true.
It needs some work, but you know, the Facebook page is quicker to update.
Yeah,
it's immediate.
Davis, thank you for being here, especially on a performance day and a dress rehearsal.
Of course, my pleasure.
We love you.
You're not the only ones, man. They love you too.
Yes. Again, be seated. Thank you.
It's such a fun thing to have you here, too, because obviously every time we get a chance to talk, I'm reminded of how many great things are going on in Los Angeles right now. We talked about Long Day's Journey into Night with Jeremy Irons. I mean, what an amazing, a great thing. Lots
and
of
who said
stuff.
We weren't a theater town?
That's right. So once again, go to performingartslive.com, check out some of these amazing shows, see what else is going on.
Sir Andrew, we'll see you next week.
Where will that be, Michael?
Right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.